Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. Really glad to have you listening today. I talked earlier to Stephen Scott about the words of Jesus, the red letter words of Jesus, the power of his words, his declarations, his promises, his invitations. I'm telling you what, it was a power hour. If you need some encouragement, that podcast will be up in just a little bit on our website at myfaithradio.com. Now we're going to switch gears and talk about sharing your faith, about following God's leading and his promptings, and just that you would be in the right place at the right time, that your steps would be ordered by the Lord, and that you would just follow the nudge of the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we make evangelism so scary. I know I do. And so intimidating. We see certain people who seem to have a gift for it, and we shy away because it seems so intimidating. Well, one of my favorite people to talk to about this idea is Holly Melton with Campus Crusade for Christ. That's what it used to be called. It's called CRU now. Title of her book is Follow My Lead, Responding to God's Voice in Everyday Encounters. And I just feel like Holly explains this in a way that takes kind of the fear out of it, where you walk with God. His Spirit is in you. You follow the nudge. You do what he says, and he will not fail you. And she's got one story after another of how that's been true for her. And she equips many people to share their faith as well. So let me tell you about her, and we'll get her on the program. Holly Melton is National Campus Director of Field Ministries for CRU, formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ, overseeing more than 300 missionaries engaged in cross-cultural ministry. In addition to her work with CRU, Holly speaks all over the world as she teaches college students and other adults how to share their faith in Christ through conferences, retreats, and training events. You can find her on the web at mattandhollymelton.org. Holly, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you. Wondering if you have a verse that you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Yes, I do. I've been meditating on 1 Thessalonians 5:18 the last few months, which says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And the reason I've been thinking about this is recently my brother-in-law has passed away with cancer. He had leukemia, and he left behind 4 young children, 9, 8, 6, and 4-year-old. And just seeing how him and his wife gave thanks in all circumstances till his death, and even now after he is with the Lord, to see her glorifying God in this, it has really challenged me on how do I give thanks in all circumstances. So that's what I've been meditating on recently.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that story. So sorry about your loss. That's devastating, but you're right. God is still even in the midst of it. Wow. Well, if, for those who haven't heard previous conversations, Holly, would you share not only how you came to Christ, a little backstory on that, but really when you started to get a sense of the conviction as Scripture calls us to share the gospel?
Yeah, you know, I was young. I was raised in a Christian home, and so I understood as a young child that Jesus loved me. And really, that's the foundation, right, is learning that Jesus loves us and wants a relationship with us. And so it was actually my father that took me around when I was in elementary school for vacation Bible school. We would go to every kid in my class's home, and we would invite them and their siblings to Bible school. And my desire every year in elementary school was, could I share Jesus with my friends in my class? And that was my scope. Those are the people in my sphere of influence, even as a child. And so I really think it's my father who helped me to learn how to share Jesus with others, even at a young age.
Wow. So beautiful. What a heritage and a legacy. My goodness. Well, here's a quote from the introduction of your book. Hearing God's voice is not as mysterious as you may think. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you and guide you throughout each day. If he desires that you follow his lead in everyday encounters with others, then his voice must be something you can clearly hear and obey. Often the problem is that you and I just aren't tuned in for his voice. Say a little bit more about that.
Yes. I mean, when Jesus was here on earth, he promised us. He said, I'm going to leave someone with you greater than I. And we were going to see greater things happen than even what Jesus did on earth. And that was the Holy Spirit. And so if Jesus was giving us this part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, in order to experience an abundant and fruitful and God-glorifying life, then there has to be a way we can learn how to engage with him and hear him and understand him. And I just think that's kind of a big missing component in the church nowadays is thinking about what's the role of the Holy Spirit in our life, as well as the role of the Holy Spirit in evangelism and in having the gospel come clearly to other people. And so that's what I'm passionate about people really learning and grasping in their life.
And I think we've stigmatized it in such a way that some are afraid of that because they've made it maybe something weird, you know what I'm saying? But the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us, nudges us, convicts us. I want you just to talk about some of the ways that the Holy Spirit moves in our life that we may even miss if we're not paying attention.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit is one that convicts us and challenges us and comforts us and guides us and gives us wisdom. There's a lot of specific roles about the Holy Spirit. But oftentimes, his desire is to draw us to Christ and to share Christ. And so this is how I think about it. The Holy Spirit that was put in me, part of his job is to reveal Jesus to other people. And he knows that person better than I do. So what I need to do is ask the Holy Spirit, show me, how do I share Jesus with this person in front of me? You know them. You know their hurts, their fears, their desires, their longings. Show me how I can share Jesus with this person. And he will contextualize or make a special way for me to explain it to that person if I invite him into the conversation, if I invite him to speak through me.
That's such an encouragement. I know you've got a number of stories that I'm going to ask you about, a number of them. But first, tell me this. What are some of the obstacles that oftentimes get in the way of our hearing God's voice, maybe stifling our spiritual ears, so to speak?
Well, I think oftentimes it's busyness and self-centeredness. We think about our own lives. If we have families, we think about our own kids, our own immediate family. We think about our own finances. And so we're focused on ourselves and our lives. And we are not focusing on what is going on around us and how God wants us to engage with the people around us in a real personal, intimate way. And so I think that's one of the greatest things is we're just not aware of him wanting to use us because we're self-focused. And second, I think we're afraid to ask him to use us because we feel, oh, I'm not wise enough. I don't have enough experience. I'm not a pastor or a missionary or a seminary teacher, you know. And so there's this fear to even ask for him to use us because we feel unequipped and unready. And I think that's just a lie from the enemy that he wants to hinder us from asking the Holy Spirit to use us in God's work.
And that's where we're missing out on the great adventure of being used by God, when we think that we need more than we actually have. I mean, it is absolutely amazing when you
Correct.
Follow his lead. You do need to be in the Word so that you know the Word, so you know to so God can bring a Word to your heart and to your mind. But he is so for us and so with us in this, isn't he?
Yes. Definitely. He wants to use us. It blesses us. When we see how God uses us, it actually confirms our faith, encourages our faith, and it propels us to want to share him more. So when we take that first step of trusting him, inviting him into a conversation, and we start to see him use us, honestly, it becomes kind of addictive because you want to see what else he's going to do. And that's just a blessing that the Lord gives us when we invite him into the conversation.
Well, one thing, Holly, I often hear is people say, well, I'm afraid I'm not going to know answers to questions they ask. But that's even something we don't need to be afraid of. And I know you've had so many experiences. What advice do you give to those you're training who they say, what if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer? What do you say?
Yeah, well, first, you can just say to the person, you know, that's a really good question. At this point, I don't have a clear answer for you, but I would love to go research it and study and see what answer I can come back and share with you, because what you're asking is important. So you want to acknowledge that the person is valued, that that question is important, but also we don't have to know everything. It's fine to say, I want to be a learner too. I'm following Jesus. I'm still learning about Jesus. I've not arrived in knowing everything about God and the Bible and spirituality. And so it helps us to come alongside them and say, let's figure this out together. Let's go on this spiritual journey together. And so it's not an us versus them. It's not about a debate. It's not about I have all the knowledge and you don't, but saying, let's go figure this out together. And so that becomes way less intimidating. It gives you time to think and pray and get wise counsel and ask the Holy Spirit how you would answer the question.
Oh, excellent advice. Well, here's another one for you. Some people seem to have this evangelism gift. You know, they ooze the gospel. I think you're probably one of those people. Maybe that's been an acquired gift for you. But either way, you know what I'm talking about. There are people that just, like, they were born evangelists, and they seem to find and make opportunities wherever they go. And the truth is, I think a lot of us will look at those folks and shy away because we can't quite measure up to their level of engagement and connection. And I'm wondering, Holly, if you've got advice for those of us who love God but feel intimidated at the thought of sharing the gospel with a complete stranger. Say more about that, if you would.
Well, I wrestle with, is it a gift or not? Just because one thing I do write in my book is not all of my stories does someone come to faith. All right, so it's not like, oh, look, Holly, every time Holly shares the gospel, somebody comes to follow Jesus. That is not true. But what I would say is I made a point, there was a point in my life where I said, Holy Spirit, I want you to use me. Holy Spirit, I want you to show me when I need to take a step of faith. Holy Spirit, speak through me. And I truly believe that any Christian that asks that will have opportunities to share Jesus. That it's not like I'm just sitting there and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm going to go share the gospel with this person. I don't naturally think about that. But if I choose every day to invite that the Holy Spirit into my life and into my awareness of the people around me, then he's using me more. So I think that's the key versus saying, do you have a gift or do you not have a gift? What if I don't have the gift? I'd say anybody can ask the Holy Spirit, use me, show me how to use me, open my eyes to what you're doing, and then see what he's going to reveal to you. And then I think what the problem is we don't want to take the first step. The first step is often scary. And here's kind of a new focus I've been telling people is normally when a conversation seems awkward or a situation seems awkward or you're not sure if you should say anything, normally that's when the Holy Spirit wants to use you. And if you take that risk, and if you enter in and you try to have a conversation, he's going to use you to bless, to encourage, to confirm something in that person's life because you are willing to push through the awkwardness. And I just think we're not willing to do that. Yeah. Evangelism, gift or not, we need to push through the awkwardness.
That is so good. And I want to know how your life has changed as you've dared to pray that. And by the way, I totally agree with you. We all, as Christ followers, have the Holy Spirit. We've all been charged to make disciples and to preach the good news and to do the Great Commission. So that's just true for all of us. But I'd love to know how your engagement and willingness to surrender and say, use me, God, speak through me, how has that changed not only your view of Christ, but the adventure of faith that you've enjoyed with him?
Well, I just feel like, okay, surrender, first of all, is a daily thing we must do. Every life stage I enter into, there's new things I need to surrender, right? Now as a mom, I have to surrender my children and surrender more of my time that was mine and things like that. So first, it's surrender. But second, it's just saying, how can you use me in my life stage? I think sometimes we also compartmentalize and say, oh, well, college students have time to share their faith, or, oh, you're still single, so you have time to go share your faith, or you don't have kids yet. So, you know, I think we make excuses even in our life stages. And so I think it's really saying, Lord, how can the Holy Spirit use me in my life stage and where I'm at? And showing him it's going to look different. For me, it's going to look different now as a mom than when I was single of how he's going to use me on a daily basis. And so it is believing he's going to still use me. I think that's something I've slightly wrestled with. Now that I'm a mom, I don't get to travel the world as much. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, I want to still see you use me in powerful, God-glorifying ways because I know you can do that. You don't stop doing that in my life just because I have a toddler and a newborn, you know? And so believing him for both big things in our life. And I think sometimes we settle. and we just say, yep, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I'm going to heaven. I'm happy. But he has such big things for our life. And I want to be a part of that adventure, no matter what my life stage is.
And we miss out if we self-protect. Boy, we've got two copies of Holly's book, Follow My Lead. Two copies. So if you've got a question about sharing your faith, I love this book. I feel like it's a handbook for just sharing your faith. So many stories that will inspire you. Subtitle is Responding to God's Voice in Everyday Encounters. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. If you want to share a story with us about how you shared your faith recently, or ask Holly for advice on how to share your faith and share the gospel, here again is the number, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. Love that. That's Robin Mark. Flow through this land till every man praises your name once more. You know what? You've got a sphere of influence. You've got people that God has put in your circle that he wants you to touch. He wants you to minister to. He wants you to love. He wants you to share a word of encouragement. Walk by the Spirit. Respond to the nudges and see what God will do. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Holly Melton of Campus Crusade for Christ crew. The title of her book is Follow My Lead, Responding to God's Voice in Everyday Encounters. We're trying to destigmatize evangelism, because it can be scary, it can be intimidating. We can kind of relegate to that few people who just can't not evangelize. But God calls all of us to share. And some plant seeds, some water. And if we can be just content to be part of the process and respond to what God is saying and doing, we will be part of a great adventure of faith. We only have two copies of Holly's book, and I see two calls come in, both from Madison. So both Jennifer and Sue will get a copy of Holly's book. Let's go with Jennifer, checking in from Madison. She's got a question today. Jennifer, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, God bless. I did have a question. I was in an actual situation over the weekend where I guess someone came up to me and asked me a question and kind of went into a discussion about the Bible. And from there, they did the, oh, you one of those people. So I was wondering, like, how do you disciple or minister to someone that is blocked and that is atheist and don't really believe or have faith?
Great question, Jennifer. What do you say, Holly?
Yeah. Well, if they are saying they're atheist or they don't have faith, I sometimes start by asking people, what is your spiritual journey? Were you raised in a religion, or did you have any spiritual experiences? What brought you to deciding that you're going to become atheistic or that you don't believe that there's a God? So I always start out as a learner of the person, because just because you have five people in a row that say they're atheists, they have different backgrounds, different stories, and they still have a spiritual journey. So I then talk about common ground of, we all have spiritual journeys. I'd like to hear yours. I'd love to share mine. And then honestly, with people that are agnostic or atheist, I say, okay, if, let's just say, if there was a higher power out there, what would you hope is true about that higher power?
Wow.
Now, I have asked that question all over the world. I've asked that question in communist China, where they are told there is no God. And they have never thought about, if there is a God, what would that God be like? And what's interesting is I've asked that question to atheists. If there is a higher power, you know, if there was a higher power, what characteristics do you think you'd want him or her to have? And almost all the time, a person that's allowing themselves to think about that question will give answers that are true about God. I want there to be a higher power that knows me, loves me, cares about war and death and, you know, the tragedies of this world. And I am then able, again, asking the Holy Spirit to give me wisdom how to share, how I too would want a God or a higher power to have those things. And then I say, what if I could share with you that there is a higher power that has those characteristics? And would you be interested in knowing more about him? So here's the thing. When someone says they're atheist, I say, first, common ground. We're all on a journey. What's your journey? How did you decide to get there and become an atheist? Second, are you willing to even contemplate that there could be a God, or are they too closed off? It is not our job if they do not want to talk about it or are not interested. If they're not spiritually interested, the Holy Spirit is not pursuing them right now, and it's not our responsibility to convict them. And that should give us a lot of freedom when we're engaging with other people. What we're trying to see is there a spiritual door open? Are they seeking? Are they just saying that they're atheists because there was a hurt or something incomprehensible that happened in their life that you could maybe enter into? So that is how I begin the conversation with someone that says they're atheist or that they don't know if there's a God.
Wow, Jennifer, that was a great question. And Holly, fantastic answer. We've had Jennifer on hold. Hopefully she can hear that whole answer. She gets a copy of the book. Sue is holding on from Madison. She's got a great question. I want to tell you, Holly, we're going to get Sue on to ask her question, but we have to be out in about 2.5 minutes for a short bottom of the hour break. So you might want to start answering soon. We may have to carry it over to the other side. I just want you to know in case I have to jump in. But Sue, thanks for holding. Love your question. Go ahead and ask Holly.
Hi, Holly. I struggle with sharing my faith with my father, who's a Muslim. There's just a lot of complicating factors just regarding culture and the fact that my mother is Christian. It's almost like I've picked her side by becoming a Christian. And so, and also just wanting to respect him as my father, just how to do that in a way that... I don't know. Sometimes it just feels like it would be impossible because for him to turn his back on his faith would be kind of a rejection of the culture and his family.
Sure. That's huge, especially in the Muslim culture. And we know that many Muslims are coming to Christ. And right now, often what is happening, it's through visions and dreams they are getting confirming that Jesus is the Christ, the true Messiah, and the Savior. So one thing, I agree with you, you want to respect your father. You don't want to lose his respect. You have the compassion to know that, man, this decision for him is going to have a lot of ramifications if he ever chose to follow Jesus. So the first thing I would exhort you and encourage you is to be on your knees in prayer that the Holy Spirit pursues him, that the Holy Spirit would unblind his eyes, that the Holy Spirit would show him how Jesus is true, and that Jesus would reveal himself to him. That does not negate you not having spiritual conversations with him, but I have seen, especially in the Muslim culture, we must be praying for our Muslim family members and friends, and God works powerfully as we are praying. So I'll say that before the break.
Sue, thank you so much for that call. You get a copy of Holly's book. Got an email from Tim. We only have two books, but we'll contact the publisher, Tim, to see if we can get you one as well. And what Tim writes is, I always feel challenged to share my faith with those around me. I feel as though I haven't truly shared my faith in the real world, but just on a mission trip and in church program activities. What are some good conversation starters in sharing my faith with my coworkers and those I come into contact with daily? I'm going to reset that question so you can hear it again, Holly, on the other side. But Tim, I'm going to try really hard to get you a copy of the book. I love that you feel that conviction to share your faith. You got a question or even a story to share, we'd sure love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. And as Holly said, we've covered the issue of Muslims coming to Christ, and they are coming in droves. They are seeing dreams and visions. Be praying for Muslims. God loves them. Okay, we'll be back in a moment. Child of God, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and you get to live a life that defies the gravity of sin and death. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? Talking to Holly Melton today, author of the book Follow My Lead, Responding to God's Voice in Everyday Encounters. And this book is so great because she shares all of these divine appointments, really just daily interactions of being used by God and God leading her in conversations to lead people to Christ. Such a powerful thing. I said before the break that a listener named Tim wrote in, and he says, I always feel challenged to share my faith with those around me. I feel as though I haven't really truly shared my faith in the real world, but just on mission trips and church program activities. What are some good conversation starters in sharing my faith with my coworkers and those I come into contact with daily? And first of all, Tim, appreciate that question so much. What do you say?
Yeah. Well, when I was thinking about what Tim's question was, I think we need to normalize that spirituality is part of people's lives. Like even secular counselors say, okay, we want to know about your emotional health, your physical health, relational health, and spiritual health. So even in secular worlds, they acknowledge that people have kind of spirituality to them. So I think that we can normalize that in conversations with others. So let's say you've been at a workplace for a while, you have coworkers or neighbors, you could say, hey, you know, I know your kids are in these sports, or we've talked about all these other fun things, but I've not heard, like, if you're kind of from any spiritual background or not, or I realize I've never even shared my spiritual journey, and I'm just curious what your story is, you know, on your spiritual interests in life. You know, so you could just kind of make it low key if you want to kind of just directly ask about spiritual things. I think also as relationships start to build, we need to be question askers, because the world does not have really deep, intimate relationships of people that will ask them the questions that care. How are you doing? How's your family? How are things going with your kids? Or, oh, I'd love to, you know, me and my spouse to meet you and your spouse for dinner. And so one of it is building relationship, building that trust and that respect, so that you can enter in, because Jesus is very personal and Jesus wants to meet them where they're at. But if we're not willing to get to know our coworkers or neighbors where they're at, we're not going to have those opportunities to go in and share Jesus with them. We shouldn't be around like, oh, here, I've never told you about Jesus. Let me do that right now. And you preach at them, you know, at the lunch table. That's not, I think, what really we're being called to do. And so we want to first ask ourselves, are we entering into their lives? Holy Spirit, show me how to first enter into their lives. Show me how to care about them, how to enter in with them. So a lot for me with relationships with neighbors has been, how do I enter into their lives? And then I start to see they lost a job. They lost a parent. They, you know, diagnosed with depression. Different things happen in their life. And then I'm able to enter in and pray with them or ask, can I share a verse with you or things like that. So I do think it starts with us getting deeper into their lives to have permission to bring Jesus into the conversation, especially in a relational context.
Wow, excellent. Hopefully that was helpful to you, Tim. I thought it was excellent. And one thing you say in your book is that we shouldn't shy away from spending time with Jesus around non-believers. Explain what you mean there.
Yes. I want to normalize Jesus in my life. If he is my best friend, if he is someone that is more committed to me than my spouse or my parents, then I need to be able to bring him into the conversation with others. And so as I get to know people, they should know, man, Holly's someone that likes to read the Bible. Holly's someone that likes to pray. Holly's someone that really talks about what God's doing in her life. And so even with non-believers, sometimes I'll say to my friends, hey, you know, I know you're not really big on faith or God, but can I just share with you something God's been teaching me? You know, and so for me right now, I have been saying to my non-Christian mom friends, you know, I've really had to learn how to be a servant, and how, as a mom of two, how not to say, man, I wish my husband would do this more, or I wish he would do this. I want to learn how to serve and be a blessing. I want to learn how to be thankful for how my husband does help and engage as a busy working man, you know. So I have been entering into where I'm growing, where I'm trusting Jesus, how Jesus has met me. I share about a parenting situation I had and how I wasn't sure what to do and how I asked the Lord to give me wisdom. And then I share what the Lord kind of gave me for wisdom. And they're like, oh, wow, I never thought to pray about my parenting, you know. So I'm not preaching at them. I'm not even sharing the gospel per se, but they're starting to see, man, I engage with God on other areas of my life. And that becomes normal to them to hear about Holly sharing about what I'm learning about God or how I'm growing with God. And that helps them want to ask more questions of how maybe they could engage with God. I had a non-Christian neighbor say to me once, when she was struggling with depression, postpartum depression, she said, Holly, I wish you would have told me I could pray to God, because maybe I wouldn't have drank the toilet bowl liquid, the toilet bowl cleaner, and been rushed to the hospital because I almost tried to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was almost like I would have maybe not tried to commit suicide if you told me I could pray to a God like that. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. Like, I had never even thought about sharing about how prayer is powerful to a non-believer, you know, because they don't yet have that relationship, but it can entice them. Jesus is relational. Do I want that relationship? You know, and then you have the freedom to share the gospel. So,
you know, that's such a good word. One thing we try to cover on the show with, you know, often enough with regularity so that we can get this into our souls is that the gap has to widen between how God affects us and how man affects us. Because if we need their approval, it's like we want something from them. We can't communicate what God wants for them. So it's like if I need you to approve of me, I need you not to think I'm weird. I need you to accept me. It's you want something from a person. And if a person is lost and you're trying to extract acceptance and approval and to save face, you're not really in a position to share what Christ has done. And I feel like somehow we've got to reckon that in a way to love them enough to say, even if for the moment you don't totally get me, I don't really need you to love me or even think I have all my marbles. I mean, not that we want to be weird, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like there's a certain confidence, Holly, that you have in your relationship with God so you can freely love people even if they don't get you. I would love for you to speak a little bit about that.
Yeah. You know, a funny example that just came to my mind, it's from years ago, but when I was a college student, I was a resident assistant in the dorms, so I kind of oversaw the freshmen. And, you know, anything goes pretty much in a college dorm nowadays. And so, you know, they would have pornographic pictures in their room, and they would do a whole bunch of different things. And I just said, you know, when I come into your room, they knew I was a Christian. I'm not going to ask you to take down your pictures or to not cuss, because this is your room. I'm in your place. I will respect how you want to live. But if you're going to come into my room, could you respect not bringing in alcohol, you know, not saying things on purpose that you know are offensive to me? So I was creating these lines of, could you respect me in my territory, and I will respect you in your territory. And it was this new thought to them that, wow, I can still be myself, even though you're different than me, in my territory. And I think a lot of Christians, what we do is we just say, man, you should get that stuff off your wall, or I'm not going to be near you because you cuss, or I don't want to, you know. And it's like the Bible says to not, I mean, we got to be around the world. We can't so much exclude ourselves that we're never around people that cuss, smoke, you know, whatever, you know, like we got to be willing to go there. So what I noticed was I gained the respect of non-believers. They actually said, wow, they might not have understood it, but I wasn't made fun of. I wasn't ostracized. I was respected. And so then when traumatic things happened in their life, they let me enter in. And so I think there's a fine line of how can we still not expect the non-believer to be like us and not hold them to our standards and still be able to be around them when they're living like the world, because they know no difference. But then when we are ourselves, you know, for them to say, wow, that person is different, and I want to respect that. You know, so I think we got to be careful not to be legalistic and not to be hypocrites in order to be respected in today's culture.
Wow, good, good word. This listener wrote in and said, God has placed on my heart the beautiful Mormon people and a desire to share the gospel of grace with them. However, I get a lot of pushback from Mormons and Christians alike about not being tolerant of another person's belief. Any advice on how to deal with that?
Yes. And so the real question is tolerance. Is are we not being tolerant of other people's beliefs? Well, that goes back to believing, then do all roads lead to heaven? Does anybody's belief lead to eternal salvation? The answer, if you're a true follower of Jesus, is no. We believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father God but through me. So if the road really is narrow, there has to be a way we respect other people. I'm not saying we disrespect them and the choices they make, but we cannot say, hey, what's good for you is good for you, what's good for me is good for me, because otherwise we are negating absolute truth, saying that there is no absolute truth out there. So we need to be able to say, hey, I respect your spiritual journey and you seeking, you know, what you think is true faith, but I would never say to somebody, oh, but what I believe is only my opinion, because I truly believe the Bible is truth and Jesus is the only way. So I think it's not about tolerance. It is about respecting the person, but still believing in absolute truth. Does that make sense?
Very much so. Yes. So well put. And this is a good segue. Now, the point you make in the book is we need to be honest and respectful when a non-believer asks about our view on things that the Bible directly calls sin. This is a big one, and one we've addressed on the show as well before. Unpack that one, if you would, because that reminds me of the passage, to be ready to give an account for the hope that is within you. So this is assuming someone sees a hope in you, so they ask you about it, to be ready to give an account with gentleness and respect. Take it from there.
All right. Well, we live in a culture where nothing should be considered sin, right? We have the freedom to do whatever we want, whenever we want, and you're not allowed to judge me. Well, the problem is if we are living by a biblical worldview, there is right and wrong. And so we need to be willing to say, I believe that what the Bible says is true, and I am going to live my life according to the Bible. But I cannot force other people to live by the Bible. Okay, that has to be between them and God if they are going to follow how we understand the Bible to be written and what Jesus wants us to do. And so I think that is the challenge is, yes, someone can say, hey, what's your view on, you know, adultery? There's so much about the world. It's like, yeah, you can just go and have a relationship outside of marriage if your spouse isn't meeting your needs, things like that. Well, that's the culture of our society. I can still say, I believe adultery is wrong. I believe that this is what the Bible says about this. But you can still be my friend. I can still love you, but I'm not going to hide behind what the Bible says. That I was just reading this morning in Proverbs, and it says it's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy your life if you choose that, make that decision, you know? And so why would I, if I love that person, not lovingly tell them that? And we cannot omit from the gospel that we're sinners. So if we're going to cave in and say, oh, yeah, you can do whatever you want, then we're pretty much saying it doesn't matter if you sin or not. But we know that it matters that we sin because that's what separates us from God. So we have to be willing to say, yep, the Bible says that. And so I'm going to believe that that is true and that is the right way to live or the thing to not to do. But it is going to offend people, and that's okay. I think we need to still be respectful in the conversation and not be offensive in how we share the truth. That's what we have to be careful about.
And that's what distinguishes the gospel from a feel good, improve your life in 7 steps kind of thing. The power of the cross, the reality of our sin.
Yeah.
And the promise of salvation. I mean, if we lose the tension of those two things, we lose the power of the cross. It just becomes a self-improvement idea. Talking to Holly Melton, we'll come back talking more about how to share your faith and being led by the Holy Spirit. God is with you in this. 877-933-2484. If you've got questions, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Holly Melton in a moment. You woke up each morning, you got on your knees, you opened your hands, and you just said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Lord. Use me today. I want to be interruptible. I want to be correctable and redirected. I want you to intervene in my life, put people in my path whom you've appointed me to bless, and I want you to use me. You get to say how this day goes. What if you did that every single day? What would happen? What would change in your life? Talking to Holly Melton today about following the Spirit's lead, following the Holy Spirit, and so that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can reach people. We are in a day where people need Jesus. Every day, people need Jesus. And she's giving us some just practical advice about how to reach people for Christ. And one of the things that you say, Holly, is we don't have to experience what others have experienced in order to engage them. I think that's another thing that we can shy away from. A person may think, I don't have a sordid past. I have no business talking to someone who does. Talk about why that's not necessarily true.
I truly believe that the deepest desire of each person is to be fully known and fully loved. What I mean by that is people want to be known. They're good, they're bad, they're hurt, they're pain, their longings, their desires. And they want to not be judged by it, but still know that they could be perfectly loved. And so, one, we can't do that perfectly, but we can do that better probably than the world if we're truly following Jesus. Because Jesus had compassion on the people. It says that he had compassion on them because he saw them as harassed and helpless, as sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus can give us that compassion for others. And so when people feel that we fully get to know them and can fully love them, they are going to be willing to let us into their lives, even if we've never experienced what they've experienced. We haven't experienced that cancer or that loss that they've experienced or the scary thing that's coming ahead. But when we enter in and care and engage and are with them in it, we are given permission to bring Christ into the conversation and to bring his care and his hope and his focus on the future to give them that hope and purpose. And so that's what gives me confidence. I might not be able to at first relate to that person, but I know that they want to be loved and known. And if I pursue loving and knowing them, they're going to open up to me, and I'm going to have permission to bring Jesus into their life.
So good. Got one more question for you. We're going to close today's show with a Meredith Andrews song, Spirit of the Living God. I just love this song because it's a reminder of that we want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. We want to follow the Spirit's lead. This is my last question. One thing you say is we need to learn to become safe people and accepting people as being in process. Again, Holly, that's quite different than what a lot of people, you know, I talk to non-Christians often enough to hear them say, I'm interested in Jesus, but the way that you treat each other makes me want to run the other way. And how we treat each other, they're talking, fellow Christians. So I want you to talk about becoming safe people, accepting each other as being in process.
Yes, I think this is real important, especially within the church. I think we right away assume that because we're in a church or we're in a small group, that everyone is following Jesus, that everyone is trying to purge sin out of their life and become more like him. And that's just not true. There are seekers in our churches and people that think they're followers of Jesus, but they're not. And people that haven't heard certain things, and we're all on different levels of maturity and understanding of the Bible and the gospel and Jesus. And so we need to come alongside each other and say, we are on this journey together. Might be more internal now. It might be more about pride or self-confidence or other things than external with. And so we want to not judge, but say, hey, let's talk about this, you know? And so one of the most important things that I think we miss out in the church is having a safe place where people can share, hey, I'm struggling with same-sex attraction. I'm struggling with liking a person, and I'm married. So what do I do with that attraction? I'm struggling with loving my child. I don't even want to hug my child. Are we permitting people to say these things to us and still say, I'm going to come alongside you and let's figure out how to walk through this struggle with Jesus? And so whether a non-believer or someone that's within the church, we need to be willing to be authentic and open and transparent enough to say, I'm struggling with this really deep thing that could almost put me over the edge, you know, and that's real community, that's real accountability, that's real church, I think, and that's helping us become more like Jesus and becoming safe people to one another. Now, what's important is it's not just bringing it out in the open. I think what I see some people do is say, oh, I'm confessing my sin to you, or I'm telling you what I'm struggling with. Well, no, it all has to still go back to God. Do we want the Holy Spirit to help us? It says that we either run with the flesh or the Holy Spirit. So on the side of evangelism, the Holy Spirit also is the one that can help us overcome our flesh. And I have a chapter about that in my book too, because I think it's so important for us to learn how can we say no to our flesh and yes to the Spirit so we can live more holy, righteous lives so that God can keep using our life, you know? And so I think, too, we need to be able to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and guide us as followers of Jesus or as seekers to say, hey, I want to be safe in saying where I'm at now, but Holy Spirit, help come change me because I need you.
Yeah. Great prayer for all of us. Holly, thank you for joining us today, and I look forward to the next time we get you back so we can pick up our conversation where we left off. Bless you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
God bless you, dear girl. We're going to hear the Meredith Andrews song now, Spirit of the Living God. Let this just soak right into your bones. It's so beautiful. And I'll come back and close us in prayer.
Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear you.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to give you permission to interrupt our day. Put people in our path that you want us to bless and reach and speak to. Give us a heart to do your will. Give us a heart to respond to the nudge of the Holy Spirit. May we join you in this faith adventure. God, we love you. Fill us up again. Amen. One thing you got out of today's show, I hope it's this. There's more. Whatever you know of God, there's more of Him to know, more of Him to experience. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. I pray you found some encouragement here today. Be blessed. Meet you back here next time.